Nasce il fratello.
I was encouraged by what Paul had earlier and John read to make that long walk. Paul talked about the purpose in the Old Testament that all of God's people would come together. Not just Israel, not just Judah, but all of Israel, and be brought to that one center and be joined together. And I think that's the purpose of God in the Old Testament and in the New. It's also, I believe, what we have before us in our two reading meetings. So I'm going to try to bring that together a little bit. It's been the summer. I'm a former teacher, so I'm used to summarizing things, so I just like to do it still. Well, you judge that. In any case, it was interesting what I said, that it was the sanctifying of the Lord in the heart was by far more important. The desire to bring the Lord's people together, more so than the order. It's a time of great weakness, and we're in a time of great weakness. Everyone sitting in this room, every single person with a crooked stick, the moment I think I'm a straight stick, I'm going to straighten you out, we're in trouble. And so I believe this is sort of the theme almost of the weekend, because it starts off with this letter we have in Ephesians, God telling us what he has already done. And what he has already done, no one can touch. No one can lay any charge against it. It's God who's justified, so we're already in. So it's... We never got really to the practical side, but I'm going to read a verse. I'm going to read the end of my little talk first. And I'm going back to Ephesians chapter 4 and read the last and my closing statement first. In Ephesians 4. And it's the last verse. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Every one of us should know that verse and follow that verse and make it central to our hearts, because that says it all. Now, the book of Ephesians is a letter. And a letter was written. And if you receive a letter, and you walk into the house with a letter, or you hold it up, there's going to be three questions about that letter. And you don't say anything. Three questions. And you all know the three questions. The first one being, who's
it from?
Who's it from? Second, who is it? Is it to? And the third one,
what
to say. What to say, it's about. Right? And that's what Ephesians is. It's those three. We're going to look at that in a little different way. And I trust that every single one of you here will give me some leniency, because I'm going to go back and come forward to why this letter was written. Who wrote it, why it was written, and when it was written, and what's behind it. Because it's so important to know these things. Who sent the letter? Who they sent it to? What's it about? Okay. We've had some of the walk already, okay, in the two reading meetings. And we know, for example, Brother brought up well that it's the mystery of Christ is revealed. It's the mystery of Christ, God in Christ, what God has done in Christ. And someone has said, long time ago, I never forgot it, that if you were to find one verse in the Bible that would give you the purpose of God in a single verse, it's in this book, in this chapter. They say it's verse 10. Let's read it together, because this is the full purpose of God, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, that's the millennial day that's coming when Christ will reign for the 1,000 years, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. I believe that takes in the heavenly citizens, which are every believer in this room, and the earthly saints as well in that day. It's going to be two groups. And they're going to join in one, and I believe it's just one testimony, one solid testimony as to the person of Christ. Join together in one. But in this portion, I believe here, it's joining two others together, two groups. I'll come back to that. Now I got to go back. I'll go back to the very beginning, but just by mentioning something. And that is, the enemy of our souls, from the very beginning, has sought to scatter. Our God wants to bring together, as in whom God has joined together the one man with his son. It was meant to be a permanent thing. It is meant to be that way and stay that way. And it bring us all the, it was always that way. But the enemy came in and he divides. He scatters. And that desire and that theme and that program is still as keen today as it was back in Eden. It's still the same. And he wants. Even though he cannot touch what God has done here, we are all one, that one body, so to think, yet the practical side of it. Right? We know, for example, that if we wanted to, we could take everyone, every single individual, this person in this room, and turn you into a Baptist, one through, and there would be, everyone would be a different denomination. Right? All claiming to be Christians and all walking a different path to a certain degree. Is that of God together, or is that of the enemy, separate? And he didn't say so. You know what it is. Because he's clever. The first scattering, you might say, began in Eden because Adam and Eve there, population would have been all one, all together, living forever on the earth. But sin came. Spoil. Separation from God. Man driven out of the Garden of Eden. Out of paradise. No way back. Flaming sword. Down. But God had a plan. His son would come. The shepherd, a great shepherd of sheep would come. And he'd go to the cross, as we know. We know that story. It's not part of the story right here. And what did he do? He opened the way back. But the enemy thought, smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. So we gained, he put his forces to work at Calvary, and when the king came into Jerusalem, we will not have this man. Crucify him. So the shepherd was smitten, and so the sheep, according to the enemy, would have been scattered. Except 3 days later, the miracle happened, right? He's back again. And he tells those who are faithful ones, he says, I'm going to go back and follow Acts a little bit now, Acts chapter 2. He says, I want you to be in the upper room. 10 days after I ascend to heaven, I must go back because my work is finished, but there's another coming, the Holy Spirit, that Brother mentioned, coming down to join you all together. He's going to come, he's going to join in one body by the Holy Spirit. And so we'll read those 3 verses because I want to mention them again when we get into Ephesians 1. So, let's first read the opening verses of chapter 2 of Acts. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all of one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, And it filled the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Ephesians told us that, right? Sealed with the Holy Spirit. But these are all Jews. 120 of them. In one room, all joined together into that one body. God is joining together. Because that's his purpose, is to unite in one. So let's go on to looking at these things. So let's go to chapter 8. Let's go to chapter 8. First of all, and in chapter 8, we have this group now joined together. And what do we have? Let's read verse 1. You meet a man named Saul. And Saul was a man named Stephen had just preached by the power of the Holy Spirit, asking that they would just believe the resurrection and believe in Jesus Christ and join themselves to him. And they picked up stones and they stoned them to death. And he calling upon God and saying, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Anyway, there was a young man there. They were got tired or warm or hot, stoning Stephen. They took off their clothes and put their clothes on the young man's feet. And that young man was a man named Saul. And so we read verse 1 of chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. Verse 3, and as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, healing men and women, committing them to prison. Would it be safe to say that the chief scatterer, chief instrument used by the enemy in those early days was Saul? Isn't it remarkable, we get to Ephesians 1, that the gatherer is Paul, same person, same name. The Lord says, you scattered my sheep, now go gather. And he's going to find it's a lot tougher to gather than it is to scatter. It's a pillow in the wind. Some of you were up on the thing a little yesterday, right? You took one of those feather pillows and opened up there. And it's easy to scatter those feathers. Now go back today and find them. Go gather. It's a tough assignment. And Paul was given the tough assignment. And this is what we're coming up to. Because the mantle that came off Stephen is going to be put next chapter on Saul. Saul is going to be a converted man. He is converted in chapter 9. And he'll take up the championship now of gathering to the Lord. Well, he's not alone. There's others. Peter is one of those. So let's go now, because there's other people too. There's others of that flock were full. Chapter 10. See the. In chapter 10, we have a man named Peter who gets a message from a man named Cornelius. Peter is a Jew, Cornelius is a Gentile, the people with him are Gentiles. Come down. And so he goes down, even though he says, I'm not even supposed to step inside the door. Someone who's a Gentile is defiling. But God showed him, well, I've made clean. What do you call on? Call common. So he goes, and when he gets there, he hears what Cornelius has to say. So verse 34, Peter says this, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Wow, what a dawning that was in his soul. someone other than a Jew could be blessed of God. It was an epiphany. His eyes were opened, and then he, while that was taking place, look at verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. And for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God, the same as the first time of the Jews. Here they are. Now they have been brought together. With the Jewish contingent, and know of a Gentile one. Peter has used the key, and I'm not saying one of the Gentiles, but it will be Paul who will go through that door to bring them in. Because Paul is going to be used as the messenger to the Gentiles. So we're going to follow along a little bit. So let's go chapter 13. We're going to go as far as 21 with a couple of jumps, and then we're going to jump to Ephesians. Chapter 13, verse 2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas. Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Paul and Barnabas' first missionary journey. Come before them. This is their very first one. And they're leaving now from, we'll call, the Gentile center. Okay? There's two centers. In Jerusalem, it's where all, it's where James and the 12 apostles are meeting there. And the group around them, of course, are scattered. A lot of them are scattered or hiding. But then the Gentiles come in after Peter there. They meet up in the north, right, in a place called Antioch. And it's from Antioch that Paul goes out in these journeys, visiting all the Gentiles. But it's hard because it's where these people, he always was in the synagogue first. So in this chapter, as his wont is, he goes to the Gentiles and the Jews first, some people, and preaches to them. Verse 44, 13:44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things that were spoken of by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, while we turn to the Gentiles. That's his call, really. He was raised up with that call, and now he's coming into it. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, as many were ordained to eternal life through the Lord. There it is. It's set up now. He's going more to the Gentiles. Now we have the first problem. First issue between two centers arises. Chapter 15. Just read verse 1. This verse. So a certain man which came down from Judea, that's from Jerusalem, that's the Jewish contingent, taught the brethren and said, this is the brethren here of the Gentile brethren, the verse, they're saying, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. See? New. All of a sudden something different coming. They trying to put the Gentiles back under the law. You've got to be circumcised to be called Moses. So they go back up, Paul and Barnabas go up and they have this big meeting. And the end of the meeting basically is saying, no, we're, James says, it's okay, the Gentiles don't need to keep the law until you run your way. But he didn't tell them that us Jews are going to do it though. we're going to circumcise our children, and we're going to continue to keep the law. Didn't tell them that. We find it in chapter 21. Now you have the seed of, we call it problem coming in. Problem of, could be division. Could be a real problem here. You don't have two centers because God is bringing them together, but the forces are going to set them apart. See, it's the idea. And so we get to chapter 21, we'll go right there. Because now we're jumping over all of Paul's missionary journeys. And in chapter 21, he wants to get back to Jerusalem. Because in the meantime, before he gets back to Jerusalem, Paul has already written Romans and Galatians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and maybe some others. You know what he said about the law. Those books. And keeping the law. Now he gets back, and when he gets back, the first thing there's James, who is the main leader there in Jerusalem, and the apologist report, of course, right? So let's just look at the verse 19, 21:19. And when he had saluted them, Paul, he declared particularly what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, this is what's foremost in their mind. Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. Saul was a very devout man. He thought he was doing God's work. There was none more zealous than me. He had a zeal, but it was not according to God. And a little later on, in Romans 10, he said the very same thing of his people, his nation, that they have a zeal of God, he says, but not according to knowledge. He's making reference to himself. I was like that, he said. I was persecuting the church and dragging them out to prison, committing them to death penalty. He had a real zeal. So can we. But I may not be according to knowledge. It's not just zeal alone, in other words. It has to be other things. So now when Paul's converted, he realized all of a sudden his scales fall from his eyes. And in 3 days, he's preaching Christ. You go back to chapter 8 again, or 9. He's preaching Christ. Two things he preaches. Christ is the Son of God, is the first thing. And the second thing he preaches, that he is Christ, the Christ, the Messiah. That's his first two things he preaches. So there he says, they are all zealous of the law, these Jews. Look at verse 21. And they are informed of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. He's telling them. There he says, what is it therefore, Paul? And all the Jews are going to need to come together. They want to hear you. And James won't give them a chance to answer. Because that's exactly what Paul's telling them. But he can't believe it. And so, that closes the scene. Because the Lord did not want Paul to go there for that very reason. He closed the scene. The next thing we know, Paul's a prisoner. He has no more liberty to give this message. So he's taken, and he becomes a prisoner. And he's off to Rome, he's in prison in Rome, and in Rome, he gets a band, and he writes a letter to the main center of the Gentiles. He has a circular letter. It's going to go around. Paul, and he wants to tell them something. I think later, possibly before, they'll sit down and move. And because he didn't accept too much, and his calling not to the circumcision, but obey Hebrews, he won't sign them. If that's not his calling, he's going to obey Hebrews and tell him all about a lesser, better thing. I do believe that's what I'm giving him my understanding, but I appreciate it. So let's go now to Ephesians chapter 1. So, back to the question. Who's the letter from? Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a heavenly message. The Lord Jesus is now back in glory. This message coming through the Apostle Paul is from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the letter to? We have the opening verse. The saint for Ephesus, faithful in Christ Jesus. Now I read it this way, Jonathan, from some reader, I don't know who it was. Now maybe that was Garvey, but maybe it wasn't. They see, he put two of them together, it's just like to the saints and faithful. You link them together? Is it not two groups but one? I don't know. Like holy and beloved brethren, not two different groups, but holy and beloved, two descriptions of the same group. It doesn't matter really. But the key thing I believe is that it's to the Ephesians. It's the Gentiles. I want to show you this, and you feel free to correct me afterwards. Right? It's not a major point, important point, but not major. And if I'm wrong, please correct me. I don't see this opening book as a letter to individuals. I think it's a letter to Ephesians, the we and the ye. It's the Jews and the Gentiles. I believe he's speaking about bringing the two groups because they're in danger. They're trying to bring them together, but they're pulling apart. And he wants to put them on the same base what God has done for all of them. And he's going to show them that what God has for the Judean brethren in Jerusalem, he has done for you. Absolutely no difference whatsoever. Because he says, for example, chapter 3, verse 1. So I said, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. He's saying, that's why I'm in Rome. I'm in Rome because I'm a prisoner for you. The Jews took me and sent me away to Rome to shut me up. I'm writing to you. Then he tells them that chapter 2 is the proof to me that it's not you and I, or single, it's the group. For example, and you at the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. It's the Gentiles. We read it this morning in our meeting, right? Verse 12, they're over there. At that time, you were without Christ. It's the Gentiles, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, no hope. Then it says, now in Christ Jesus, you or someone far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Look at verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. You know what that means? The wall? In the temple. You know the Gentiles would go to the temple? There was a women's court, men's court. You know the other places, the holy and most holy. In front of it all, there was a wall. It was called the Gentile wall. It was a wall of partition. And the Gentiles could not go beyond that wall in the temple. They couldn't do it. And so this is what he's talking about, that Christ has removed that wall of partition. So now the Jews and the Gentiles can come together. It's removed in Christ by the blood of Christ. It's gone. That's what he's telling them. So those that were far off, the Gentiles, are as nigh. So he says that again there. He says verse 16. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. It's the two groups. It's the Jew and the Gentile he's bringing together, I believe, here. I've enjoyed this. Please listen to the book of Acts. I've enjoyed it this way. Hopefully that's the light. Lord, thank you. I never saw that way before. Is it in the first chapter? I believe it is. Showed to you. You probably know it. Let's say somebody take our Lord. In chapter 1, he comes down through and all the things that God has done. Don't go over those things. Beautiful. It's what God has done through Jesus Christ, and he is the operative one. Even the Lord is the Christ is the one he was using, but he even raises Christ up, it's all finished. It's all up now, every bit. And then when Paul speaks, he speaks these two things, Psalm 13, let's notice it. He says that we, in verse 12, and in 13, that ye. Okay? Paul is a Jew. He's part of the we. So he's saying that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And most of you know this, I'm about to say. Darby, I think, says pre-trusted. Those who pre-trusted. So what do you mean? Pre-trusted faith. What he means is, before the Spirit came down, when the Lord's ministry was finished, there were those. We said to him, will you also go away? You can go to. You have the words of eternal life. They had already trusted. So when the Spirit came, now those who had pre-trusted, the other 20 in the room, were joined together in that one body. And after that, as we just read, the Gentiles are brought in. Because he says, in whom ye also, that's Gentiles, right? Ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, that's Acts 10, beginning Acts 10. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He's bringing the two groups together, telling them, you have exactly the same history. What began? Your beginning is their beginning, just a little bit of space and time apart. You're both sealed with the Holy Spirit. You are one body. So he says in verse 7 of chapter 2, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The purpose is to, as we said, verse 10 of the, in that day coming, all one testimony, heaven and earth, and be witness of Christ, his glory. But he said, it has to start right here on earth before the call. I want to renew all believers, all Jews and Gentiles under, come in and be one body, no separation, I'm joining together. The enemy don't want that. And we just look around the world today and we see how successful he is at preventing that. Time? I'm atrocious with time. Am I going to overrun it? No? No? All right, I'll be 2 minutes? Do I have 2 minutes? I have no idea what time it is. Oh. It's 5 o'clock, is it?
4:44.
Yeah, my 5 o'clock is over. Yeah. Okay. All right, give me 2 minutes. All right, here's the conclusion, because it's the spirit of things. I said this is to tie us all together, it's the spirit of the thing that the Lord brought up this chapter for us, that he wants us, we're showing what he has done, and this is written to believers, right? Ephesians is to believers, all believers, we have this, We are heavenly citizens. We are blessed with all blessings. We are in Christ. Nothing can touch us. We belong to Him. We're all the same. All of our mistakes, but yet, straight it isn't. And now he says, well, what manner of living? How should we live? Let's go to chapter 4 now. And the spirit which we deal with each other, for example. Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Those who are in a similar place, you still such a one in the spirit. We can't stress that enough. And here it talks about, if you go to chapter 4 and verse 16, the end of it, for example, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Love covers a multitude of sins. It doesn't mean to pass over. It doesn't say compromise. But there has to be that love. That unconditional, because God loved us unconditionally. None of us in this room merit salvation. None of us. Every listener has been here. But now the last thing I want to say is in a minute or not. That in the verses before this, it points a finger at me. And that is, for example, speaks for itself. Look at it. Put on verse 23, 24, put on the new man. That's a practical expression. Put on the new man. And then put off the old, verse 22. Put off the old man, the old things. Wherefore, verse 25. Put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Yes, that's my side. I have to be truthful. I appreciate the job this morning. Don't have to worry about how we lost that job. Because in my own heart, I don't want to tell that, right? I'm much rather tell you how I got the job. You know, so it puffs me up a little bit. Although I lost it. That's speaking the truth. That's good. We need that kind of thing. And open. And then let's steal no more. Don't give place to the devil. So anyway, these are the things that are practical side because we are the Lord's. Because we do belong to Him. And this is how we should conduct ourselves. So I thought it was